This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Utopia Media's Broadband Wireless Access World. We're about to speak to Diana Neff, who's the CIO of Philadelphia. Welcome back to Broadband Wireless Access World.
Thanks, Mark.
Give us a concise update on where Wireless Philadelphia stands today on August 1st, 2005.
Well, we're in the process. We've shortlisted our finalists to design, build, and maintain our network. We're going through our due diligence and hoping to have a decision and move into contract negotiations in August and start the actual construction in September.
Who's on that short list? Can you say that?
Yes, AT&T with their partners Lucent and Bel Air.
Right.
Earthlink with their partners Motorola Canopy and Tropos.
Right.
And Hewlett-Packard with their partners Aptilo, Big, Alverion, and Tropos.
So that's a pretty distinguished group.
Yeah, it's a great group of companies. We're very fortunate. We have some very good quality responses to our proposal with these, in our belief, being the three best outstanding ones.
And what are they bidding to do exactly?
To actually design and deploy the network across all 135 square miles of Philadelphia to meet the service requirements for doing residential T1 replacement, the occasional user, the tourist trade, and then different service levels within that.
Okay, and are they essentially given a standard to meet, and it's up to them as to what kind of technology they want to use to meet it?
That's correct. In our request for proposal, we laid out the various different criteria, the different services that we wanted the network to be able to support. It has to provide a 1 megabit upstream and downstream capability as a minimum. And then, we've left it up to the companies to put together the solutions that they best feel meet the needs as we've stated them in the request for proposal.
So in no way are you picking winners here in technologies. You've set a standard and you've asked private companies to figure out the best technology that they think would meet those needs.
Absolutely.
Okay. Could you have any idea about what it's going to cost to have them do that and who's paying for it?
Mm-hmm. Well, all along our business plan has estimated that the infrastructure piece will be around $10 million, that we'll look to finance $15 to $18 million, and that covered, the deployment, the maintenance, and upkeep on that. And the proposals are all coming in within that range.
Okay, and where's that money going to come from?
We are looking to finance it through a variety of options, and part of the contract negotiations will be whether it's through taxable bonds, private investment, leasing options. So there's a number of ways to go.
And there's ways that private investors can make money on that phase of the project?
Absolutely.
Okay. And then after this is built, then what is going to be done under the auspices of Wireless Philadelphia?
Correct. Wireless Philadelphia is a nonprofit 501c3 that was incorporated last March. They will, I'm acting as a board member on Wireless Philadelphia. The board will make the selection of who's going to build the network.
Right.
Then they'll contract with internet service providers to do the actual end-user service delivery.
So after Wireless Philadelphia lets the contract, $10 million, give or take, goes to the builder, they're going to build that system, then Wireless Philadelphia will own that system, right?
Correct.
But they're not going to operate it. They're going to ask private ISPs to come in and use it.
That's right. So the company that builds it will maintain it.
Right.
And then the internet service providers will actually do the end user service delivery. So the customer care and billing will come from, as you do today with your dial-up accounts, like your Earthlinks, your AOLs, any of the variety of different service providers.
So are you going to look to find one service provider for the whole city or multiples, or could even multiple providers use the system in the same geographical area?
Multiple providers. Our plan is based on competition to help keep the price down. So we're looking to have about 4 ISPs in the first year and growing that up to as many as 7.
Okay.
And they can be a variety. It may be an institutional provider like a university that has a large group of students and professors that are using wireless on campus. They do the billing. They do the customer care. And they want to provide wireless for their students and faculty anywhere in the city of Philadelphia. They could become a provider.
Oh, I see. Okay. So in other words, they've got the service on campus, but it'll be everywhere else. So if a student is on public transit or at home.
Or he lives, you know, off campus.
Right. In other words, their ISP will be the university, and they can serve them anywhere in the city.
Correct. And they would pay a wholesale rate just like a retail ISP would.
Right. Okay. And now, just talk in general terms and about a specific event that I understand just took place in terms of how Wireless Philadelphia intends to address the issue of the digital divide.
Well, one of the projects we're working on while we're contracting to have the network built is to gain experience out in our neighborhoods. So we have 5 square mile areas that have been adopted by a variety of different companies. And we just did our big launch in the Olney neighborhood of Northeast Philadelphia. And it was a great success. In this particular one, it was sponsored by AT&T,
right.
Bel Air, and Lucent. And we had thousands of people come out. We were there for 6 hours and showcasing what are the different applications or uses that people can use the Internet for. We gave away wireless cards. We had a company that refurbishes computers there that could sell computers, very low-cost computers, less than $150, and install wireless cards. We had people backed up and lined up in the streets until 9 o'clock at night getting their card installed.
So there's plenty of public interest in this right now.
Absolutely. The faith-based organizations were there. The businesses were there. We had an immigrations lawyer that was showing people how to use the Internet to be able to track the status of their immigration papers. We had the school district that was demonstrating their parent portal, which was very exciting. We had a language translation company. This is a very ethnically rich community, and they had Korean, Cambodian, Vietnamese, Chinese, Mexican, and showing people how they could get news from their native country in their native language.
And, of course, once they get news, they can also do business with their native country over the Internet, can't
Absolutely.
They?
Absolutely.
Okay. There was a, speaking of global reach, there was a event July 2nd, the Live 8 concert worldwide, and there was this, a branch of it in Philadelphia in Love Park. And how was Wireless Philadelphia involved with that?
One of the things we did was to leverage our wireless connection along the Ben Franklin Parkway from Love Park to the Art Museum. And we, people could come online to what we call the Cloud, which is a sponsored project by Pervasive Systems and Pronto Networks.
Okay.
And it allows all of the institutions along the Ben Franklin Parkway to have information about events that are going on. Well, one of the major events was Live 8,
right.
And we actually had reporters from the local universities that were blogging. We had the ability for subscribers to post photos. So if they were out with their digital phones and they had the camera capability, they could send that up to the website.
Is that website still up?
Yes, it is.
Actually, I've visited it. It's called The Cloud at Wireless Philadelphia.
Correct.
And I'll put a link to it on here. And was that a pretty big success?
It was a wonderful success. We had over 580 people and over 2 gigabytes of data that was sent and transmitted. The new people that registered to use it during the event itself. And it continues to be up. I think the unique and novel thing about this approach is that you, as the user, can choose to have information pushed out to you. So if the art museum is of interest and you want to know when new exhibits are coming, you can choose to have it pushed out to your laptop, your handheld device, or your cell phone, and get updates on a daily, weekly, or monthly basis at your choosing.
Do you imagine that the cloud at Wireless Philadelphia will expand over the whole city as the system is rolled out?
We're talking right now with our marketing and tourism group, the Greater Philadelphia Marketing and Tourism Corporation, and in with the different entities in our historic square mile, which is being sponsored by Hewlett-Packard, and about bringing the cloud there. So, yes, we think it has a good opportunity. We've also, you know, have a community portal that the Ninth Wave has been working on that is more focused on the nonprofit and faith-based organizations. So we're looking at a number of things, but the cloud has certainly proven to be very popular. We've got about 3,000 people now subscribed to use it, and for today it's just available in Love Park to the Art Museum.
But it's still available there.
People
can use their laptops out there now.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Before
and
we
continues to will continue to be up.
Good. Before we go on to the politics of all this, say something about the participation and the role of Mayor John F. Street in this whole Wireless Philadelphia plan.
Well, Wireless Philadelphia is Wireless Philadelphia because of Mayor Street's commitment to, and it was really his passion that he brought for neighborhood transformation, which has been a cornerstone of his administration since 2000, you know, where we've cleaned up abandoned vehicles, removed them off of the streets, closed down drug corners, greened neighborhoods, and now we're bringing economic vitality into those neighborhoods and connecting citizens, businesses, schools, churches together.
Okay. A former mayor of Philadelphia, Ed Rendell, is now governor of Pennsylvania. He signed HB 30 late last year. Tell us very briefly what that does, if anything, to Philadelphia's right to offer this service and what it means for the rest of the cities and the rest of the state.
Sure. Well, last November, the telecommunications industry and cable industry mounted a campaign to legislate, have the legislature approve restrictive legislation which prohibits municipal participation or any organization created by municipal participation from getting into broadband services.
So it would have outlawed Wireless Philadelphia?
That's correct.
Okay.
But because we had been out there working with the community, doing our focus groups, holding our forums, we were able to mount a grassroots campaign, and about 3,000 people called, wrote, emailed the governor's office, and the governor helped us put some pressure on Verizon to negotiate with us, which they did, and they agreed to give Wireless Philadelphia an exemption and also a non-litigation clause. Our city attorneys got in that as well. So we're free to move forward. And to do Wireless Philadelphia.
How about the rest of, how about Wireless Pittsburgh?
Unfortunately, the best we could do there, because the governor did end up signing it into state legislation, was to have the not go into effect until January 1st, 2006. So that gave smaller communities a year to investigate wireless, determine if it was something that they were interested in doing, and then they would be grandfathered in.
Now, I understand that all of your work on Wireless Philadelphia takes all of the particularities of Philadelphia into account, but how transferable do you think it is to other communities in Pennsylvania and other states so that they might want to get something up and running? Does the law say that if they get one Wi-Fi module, one node up, they can expand it later?
I don't want to advise
right. Okay.
communities on that.
Right.
It does talk about grandfather, how defined that process is. I have heard from the telecommunications industry say, well, if there's one paying customer,
right,
then you're grandfathered.
Right.
But somebody would need to go in and study the legislation,
okay,
the fine details, and determine that. And you know, I recommend any municipality legal department does that before they make that determination.
Okay. That's at the state level. Now, what have you noted any national trends in terms of big cable and big telephone trying to put similar restrictions on municipal cable around the country?
Well, I think that since, you know, the battles became public, the first 11 states were virtually passed with nobody know that the restrictive legislation was going on.
And by passed, you mean the restrictions were passed?
Right, in 11 different states.
Right.
And then when it became very public in the Philadelphia case, that has slowed down significantly. You've had states that have refused to pass restrictive legislation. The local governments have been doing a much better job of getting out and educating their elected state officials. So we've seen the industry, the telecom and cable industry, take the battle up to the federal level.
And what are they trying to do there?
There, again, they would prohibit municipalities from participating in any type of broadband service provisioning.
And I understand that's part of a senator from Nevada, Ensign's telecommunications reform legislation.
Right, and on the House side from Representative Sessions out of Texas.
Right, I interviewed his chief of... I actually interviewed his chief of staff and said, is what's being done in Philadelphia acceptable? And he seemed to say that he was going to work on that. Do you know anything particular? What's your reading of whether the Sessions bill, H.R. 2726, would interfere with what Wireless Philadelphia is doing?
I, other than having read the legislation, it seems to me that it would prohibit municipal participation. But, you know, this is very early in the game. There's going to be, you've got pro and con bills on the House side, you've got pro and con bills on the Senate side.
Now, the pro muni broadband on the Senate side is from Senator McCain, right?
Senator Lautenberg.
Lautenberg and McCain, right, sorry.
It's a joint
right.
Bill. And there are a group of representatives on the House side that are in the process of coming out with a pro-municipal participation.
Okay, now the Community Broadband Act of 2005 that Senators Lautenberg, who's really just over the border there in New Jersey from you, isn't he?
Correct.
And Senator McCain from out west. What are the provisions of that bill, and are you supporting that? Are you trying to organize support for it?
Right. Philadelphia was one of the first cities to independently sign on. It does have the backing of the National League of Cities, the National Association of Counties, the U.S. Conference of Mayors, and Intel has now come out, as well as a number of other private sector companies, in support of municipal participation. What is, you know, the language is very open, it's very loose, all of these have to be worked through. There is, you know, also... expect to see this get tied in with the Telecommunications Act, the rewrite of
right.
the Telecommunications Act of 96.
Would the Lautenberg-McCain provisions retroactively remove the restrictions in the states that have already implemented them under federalism?
We would have to see how that plays out. I think it's too early. All of them have said there would be some form of a grandfather clause, but we don't know enough yet.
Okay.
They have to be studied.
Okay, let's wrap up with two more things. So you're saying that you're considering the three finalists now. You're going to try to let a contract to them by about when? To one of them?
Yeah, the end of August.
Okay, and then you want construction to start around?
In September.
And when do you think that, will the system come online node by node or all at once, or what are you expecting?
It'll come on. Part of the plan has been to do a 15-mile test area.
Right.
That will come up, but by the end of the year is our goal on that. That would be live, and people could start using it in that area. And then as we bring up areas, and I don't know yet until we do the final, you know, layout and sign off on the design, if that means that'll be 5-mile areas that'll come up,
right.
or whenever they put up a series of Wi-Fi nodes that mesh and interconnect.
Right.
And then have that connection out to the internet.
The advantage of the mesh topology is that it can go up in various places, and then they can be expanded and they can essentially grow together and cover the whole area.
It's self-healing, self-routing. So
right.
once you have the cells that can communicate that are connected back to a gateway,
right.
That area is up and live, and so you don't have to wait to the very end to, you know, throw on the light switch.
So in fact, you're saying that 15 square miles you're expecting will be ready to do Wi-Fi New Year's Eve, and presumably the whole city will be able to do a Wi-Fi 4th of July next in 2006.
Well, maybe for Labor Day.
Labor Day 2006. Okay,
yeah,
great.
Depends on how harsh winter is.
Okay. Now, wrap up, if you could, by saying why what Wireless Philadelphia is doing is important for Philadelphia and why it's important nationally, please.
Sure. Well, you know, neighborhood economic vitality is local. The digital divide is local. It is very important to the future of Philadelphia that we have an educated populace, that we're seen as a progressive technology city of the 21st century, and that we do not leave anyone behind, and that we truly make broadband access to improve people's lives, to assist our schools, to have a better educated workforce, accessible to everyone. So as we like to say, broadband access at dial-up rates for everyone.
And I like to say a little bit of Philadelphia for everyone everywhere else as well.
Yes.
Thank you very much for talking to us. And the cradle of American political democracy is now the cradle of American technological access, and I want to thank you for your work and for talking to us today on Utopia Media's Broadband Wireless Access World, Diana Neff, CIO of Philadelphia.
Thanks, Mark.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.